Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Do you please take a seat? As many of you know, I've just finished training at Ridley Hall in Cambridge before I arrived here in Horsham. And as an ordinand, I was fortunate to go to an event where I was able to hear Father Rennero Cantalamessa speak. Now, he is the person who preaches to the Pope. And he was giving a talk on preaching. And I and some of my friends from Ridley Hall, who were there with me, were eagerly waiting for him to share with us the secret of being a truly great preacher, because that's what we want to be. So what did he say? Well, he said quite a lot, but very simply, he said to us, if you want to be a truly great preacher, pray to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Pray to receive the Spirit. Pray earnestly for that, because only then will your preaching come alive. And once you've received it, don't stop praying. Pray for the anointing of the Spirit again and again. This is how we become channels of God's love. The love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we're then able to show others that God loves them. I have to admit, I was half hoping for a list of top tips that I could just take away and use. But on their own, something like that would be useless, because that kind of approach takes God out of the picture. He was right. Great preachers can speak God's love into people's hearts. And there's only one place that comes from. God's love being poured by the Holy Spirit into our own hearts. And that's what happened to him. He received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it was the Spirit that prompted him to leave his job teaching in a university and become preacher to the Pope. And this doesn't just apply to preaching, of course. It applies to every type of ministry, to all the things that we do for God's glory. Caring for others, running a business or a household, finance, administration, sports, whatever it is that we do. Once the Holy Spirit is in us, then it can instantly become for us the means by which we share God's love with the world. We can work as hard as we like, building up our skills and our knowledge, learning the right things to say and do, and then we'll be able to say and do admirable things. But without the Holy Spirit, we won't be building God's kingdom. We'll find, just as the people who tried to build the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 1 did, that our own efforts will just never get us far enough. Trying to do God's work in our own strength is futile. Father Rennero then said, we need to stop aiming to make a name for ourselves, but instead focus on making the kingdom of God shine in this place. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we've heard read from today, Paul talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When we come to believe and trust in Jesus, that is what we receive, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the constant presence of God with us. We're marked with a seal, guaranteeing our inheritance, our redemption. Paul reminds the Ephesians that in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And the presence of the Holy Spirit with us is what reassures us that we are loved by God, that through Christ's death on the cross, we have been redeemed. God's grace has been lavished on us. We have become children of God and been adopted into his family, the church. The Holy Spirit that was promised to us by Christ in John chapter 14, Jesus says to us, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." And John the Baptist, who was beheaded in our gospel reading, spent the whole of his ministry pointing people to the coming of Christ and of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 1, he describes Jesus as one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, not with water, with the Holy Spirit. No wonder Herod felt distressed. He was probably uncomfortable about having the bearer of such an important message beheaded. Perhaps he even sensed that it was a message that he should respond to. That Jesus is Lord. That through him we come to know God and can receive new life through the gift of the Holy Spirit. But for Herod, the social pressure won out. Herod's concern not to lose face in front of his friends by going back on the oath that he'd sworn was unfortunately his priority. His concern was to make a name for himself, not to make the kingdom of God shine in that place. But he still did seem to have some inkling that it shouldn't be. Perhaps this is a reminder to us all about what our own priorities should be. I think number one is we need to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, that God raised him from the dead, and as a result we're forgiven for all the things that have kept us apart from him, that we've been given the freedom to know God through Jesus. Jesus is alive and we can know him. And he will give us this gift if we ask him. And when we've done that, number two, ask for it again. Sometimes people say, "Well, I received the Holy Spirit when I became a Christian. I've already been marked with the seal of the Spirit, just as Paul describes it. I don't need to ask for it again. I already have the Holy Spirit." The thing is, Paul doesn't only describe the Holy Spirit as something that marks us with a seal. Gordon Fee, in his book on Paul and the Holy Spirit, says, "Paul doesn't see life in the Spirit as a result of a single experience of the Spirit at the entry point. He just doesn't have that static view of the Spirit that many later Christians seem to have, that the Spirit is given once for all at conversion, and after that we're pretty much left to our own devices to live out the Christian life. For Paul, the Spirit is the key to all Christian life, and he implies frequently there are further ongoing times of receiving the Spirit's empowering." Not asking for the Holy Spirit again is a bit like receiving a gift but never opening it, or like buying a car and never filling it with petrol, or, if it's an electric car, never charging the battery. The Holy Spirit gives us the fire that fuels our Christian journey. We won't get very far without asking for more. And is there anything else? Well, I think there is. Each of us is then not only a child of God, but a partner in God's plan. Paul tells us that the will of God is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That's a really big plan. And the Holy Spirit will help us to play our small part in this plan. Our job is to listen to what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do and to say yes. Then, not only will we be included in Christ, but so will many others, as the love of God flows into us by the Holy Spirit and out to others as we do God's will. So let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, again and again. Amen.